Hello and welcome to another episode of Metapsychics. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and in between. Oh goodness, I have a topic for you guys today. It's something that I think, honestly, my husband has put into my head with all of his musings on Carl Jung now that he's read the Red Book. We're going to be talking about, well, I want to, you know, I said musings on Carl Jung, right? This is going to be a very much like metaphysical musings on the concept of God. It's something that's been bothering me. Well, it's not okay. Not bothering me in a negative way, just something that I have been thinking about since my husband and I have been having odd conversations about the things that he's been reading on his own sort of anecdotal spiritual journey of reading more spiritual books as well as philosophical books. He's been into like the philosophy books, but now he's getting into the spiritual books, which I feel like shake hands, honestly. But anyways, I want to express that this podcast is not going to be about teaching you anything in a direct way. It's more of just talking points, things that I have thought about as well as things that I have looked up, all leading towards the ability for us to open up a path for talking about all gods and deities, honestly, because I've been trying to figure out, like, why am I talking about this? What could it lead to, etc.? And I think that's where I want to take the direction of it in order to open the floor for people to provide their own gods, deities, etc., for me to research and talk about in future podcasts. So today we're going to be talking about who created God or gods and why, and a little bit of anthropological reasoning behind religion coming about as us, like in our species, like as humans. Why, anthropologically speaking, has religion become a thing in an evolutionary sense, if you will? And we're going to go from there. Are you guys excited? I'm nervous. I have like so many scribbled notes in my little silly notebook that I got on sale at Target. Every time I read them, no matter how many times I try to figure out like a better flow or how I could try to structure this, I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to. So buckle up and get ready for that, because we're just going to be having some metaphysical musings on the concepts of God. All right, first, I don't necessarily have a life update for you guys. I know this came out after Thanksgiving, so if you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you all had a very thankful, grateful time with friends and family and whoever else you celebrate with. I know we did. The highlight of that was that Oak got to play with kids his own age, but like I said, we're not really doing a life update necessarily. It's more so that last week I forgot to talk about a story that I said I would mention at the end during the podcast, and I didn't. And a lovely person on YouTube brought that to my attention. And even when I was editing it, I was like, darn it, I messed up. So let's talk about that story first. So it was talking about past lives, and I was doing a reading for the first time ever, because all of my private readings are done over Zoom, right? Which is great because I don't have to travel. You don't have to travel. I can see you. You can see me, or you can see me and I can't see you. Sometimes they like to turn the tables on me, which is totally fine because I could do this over a phone call too. It's just Zoom is a nice platform in which it feels like we are talking to each other like normal people. So anyways, I had my first Zoom reading with someone from India, which like in my, like it's, I don't know, it's really crazy to me. It's kind of like a full circle moment a little bit. I mean, yes, I'm a medium. Do I identify as a spiritualist or someone who is spiritual? More so someone who is spiritual, not necessarily a spiritualist, because I think that puts spiritualism underneath like the umbrella feeling of like organized religion a little bit, but just a little like off the rails. But anyways, I mean, we did a podcast on Helena Blavatsky. She is known to be, or sometime accredited to, like one of the leaders of the spiritualist movements that happened in America in the late 1800s. And she got so much of her influence and understanding and wisdom from Europe, and also a lot of the people in the spiritualist movement got a lot of inspiration from people from India with their Hindu and Buddhist beliefs. So that is just largely, hugely shaping spirituality, I would say, in America as it stands. And that's just a personal opinion of my own. So for someone from India to reach out to me for a psychic medium reading is like no pressure, you know? Like when I was postpartum, one of my favorite shows to watch with Oak when he was just a wee baby was Indian Matchmaker. And I thought that show was awesome, not only because it was entertaining, but I liked the cultural aspects of it as well, that the lead matchmaker lady would go to, like she would go to like astrologists and things like that. And I'm like, why is someone from India reaching out to me? You know, like you guys have like, in a sense, the gurus yourself. So why come talk to a white girl in America when I feel like everybody that's way better than me is in India? Anyways, it was just a crazy, wild moment for me, and I was extremely humbled and like, whoa, type of moment. So sometimes people get on readings with me and they're like, oh my gosh, I get to meet you. I'm kind of fangirling. No. I'm 100% always fangirling when someone, I get to meet you guys, because for you to say that to me is like really, really, like I said, humbling and like awe-inspiring. I don't know. It's interesting. So to meet someone from India, I was like, whoa. Anyways, The thing of the reading was casually, because, you know, psychic medium readings for me are more so tailored about like talking to past loved ones, spirit guides, if you want, etc. And I don't offer like a single service for past life readings. So this lovely person asked me like, oh, do you see any of my past lives? And I was like, oh no, I don't want to answer this question because, well, like I don't know which one it is, Buddhism or Hinduism, but I know that in India, they believe sometimes in, I just say sometimes because I'm not entirely sure and I don't want to continuously put my foot in my mouth, but I know that the idea of past lives and reincarnation is very large there, and that your past lives can be equatable to like, if you were good in this life, then you continue to be a human. Or if you were bad in one life, then you incarnate as like a bug. Like it's like good karma versus bad karma is also hand in hand with reincarnation type of thing. So when they asked me this, I did not want to answer it, but I did because I can't not answer questions when you ask me things like that. So this is what happened. When this lovely person asked me, can you tell me anything about my past lives? Immediately, this guy steps forward in spirit as a past life. He's got like brown hair. I don't know. I think he lived somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where. I feel like he could have lived in the, I don't know. I feel like he could have lived in the Middle East, but I'm not entirely sure. But I think he lived maybe during like the Middle Ages, if that gives you like a time frame, because I know they had like wood burning lamps outside of the houses or like the place where he lived. And he tells me that he was someone who, if he wasn't a farmer, he was a trader or like someone that would bring food into the market for the farmers. But he specifically worked with grains. I don't know if it was wheat or barley or something like that, but it was one of the grains that could be turned into alcohol. And he would bring the grain into the market, sell it, and he would specifically sell it to people that would make it into beer or alcohol. And then he would go into the pubs and he would get super, 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 super drunk. And pubs, bars, whatever you want to call it. And he would get drunk and he would tell jokes. And I think this was before stand-up was a thing, but he would entertain people and try to like pay off his bill by doing jokes and making people laugh. And that was one of the this lovely person's past lives. And I was like, okay, interesting, cool, 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 cool. And then they asked me, well, is there any other past lives? Ooh, and for me, my mediumship sometimes works like dominoes. So if you ask a question, it pushes and allows all this other information to sort of come in. And if you don't ask a question and it's not super important, then that domino, spiritually, metaphorically speaking, hasn't been pushed. And then I won't get information for it. But they asked again, and I saw this bug. It looked a little bit like a katydid, if you know anything about, like, the only reason I know about katydids is because I love Rhett and Link on Good Mythical Morning, and they did a bug-eating episode a long time ago. Well, like, the OG bug-eating episode where Rhett eats a scorpion, but anyways, or not Rhett, Link eats a scorpion, but they also eat katydids because bugs. Anyways, so Spirit uses this to bring to the forefront of my mind that this person had a past life as like a green grasshopper bug. And I'm like, no, I can't say that to this lovely person, because what if they think they were terrible and that they had a life as a bug? Like, I don't want to tell you that you had a life as a bug if you believe in good karma and bad karma, and that, like, I don't know, maybe your gods were mad at you and made you a bug. Like, I don't, how do you say that to somebody? Right? And I was like, oh, I can't not. But, and I was like, I asked her past life, the dude who would get drunk and do stand up to pay for his bill. He's like, no, you got to tell him because it's hilarious. I'm like, no, it's not funny. I can't say that. And I did. And amazingly, this lovely person, or at least amazingly to me, this lovely person was like, yeah, we have big green bugs like that. And I ended up looking it up later, and the exact bug that I saw in my mind was called a teratoad. They are also known as a hooded grasshopper. And they're these big old green bugs that are like, they live in India. And anyways, that was the story that I forgot to tell you guys last week, because I just, it poofed out of my mind, if you will. And I was so nervous to tell someone from India their past lives. Like, that was one of the most nerve-wracking things I think I've done in a while. Like, how do you do that? After that, I was a little shooketh, if you will, as the young people say. Anyways, as I hit myself on the table, let's get into what we're actually supposed to be talking about today. And that is, who created gods and deities and why?
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right, so I wanted to structure this a little bit in like an open-ended way. Again, I'm not here to teach you about anything. These are just things that I've been thinking about, and then I also put a little bit of research into it as well to give you guys your own sources that will be linked down in the description below or in the show notes, depending on where you're listening to this podcast, either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on YouTube, on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel. You can use the sources that I went through as well to sort of begin your own little internet endeavor of looking up information like this too. But the information that I got was either from quick Google searches where, did you know that Google does like AI generated like answers now, which is interesting. The whole AI thing freaks me out, but I haven't really used it except for in the Google searches. So just little bits of information from Google searches, and then any of the sources that I've used will be listed down below. So I know I've touched upon this in past podcasts as well, of like who came first, gods and deities or people. And you know, I feel like it's kind of like who came first, the chicken or the egg, which has been answered by science. It's the chicken. But I mean, maybe you could argue that. Again, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit in this podcast, because I don't think that it's my job to tell you what to think, because at this point, I don't even know what to think, but give you things to mentally munch on. So when it comes to the creation of the universe, that is sort of how I view God in a sense, because I think that all of life did come from nothing, quote unquote. And when I say nothing, I think it's important to understand that what I mean is nothing in the sense of you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. Like there are particles and atoms and things in space that look like nothing because you can't necessarily quantify or see it. Like when you're sitting in wherever you are right now, the air around you, you would say could be nothingness. But technically that isn't nothing because there's air around you. There's particles, there's atoms, there's gases, etc. So that is my idea of nothingness. It's just that whatever was in what we couldn't see or comprehend combusted and created everything. But I also have been thinking about how, like, one of the themes I've been thinking about is how magic is in everything. And people always think, like, because this whole podcast is going to be on the fence of the people that believe in a God and the people that don't believe in a God or gods. And I'm not saying that there's one. We're like mono and polytheistically, like, copacetic on this podcast. So it's for everyone that has a belief of higher beings, I guess. And even if you don't, this is going to be the podcast for you. But my idea is that the Big Bang, that is like God, that energy, that explosion. But it's like, I also think that there's a sentience to it as well, which is an interesting concept to sort of put on things, put on matter, if you will. But trying to ask who created gods or gods is going to be humans. Do I think that God predated humans? Personally, as of right now, and when I say God, I mean the Big Bang, the energy that created existence. Yes, I think that God came first, and then humans have just been trying to figure it out as our brains have gotten bigger. We've been able to understand and try to conceptualize the energy of God, of existence, by creating gods and deities. So that is my understanding of it. So when we get into the continued research, it's going to be the fact that humans have created God, which is just interesting. Like, you know, a lot of religious or faithful people will say God created humans, but the research says that humans created God. But again, I'm more so on the fence right now of that the Big Bang, which is the universe, created physical existence, and subsequently, humans have been able to try and figure it out. And I think even science, in a sense, could be a, not a form of religion, I would say it could be a form of spirituality, because you're trying to understand existence and where life arose from, but just in a different way than what people who have created gods and deities or the ideas of gods and deities have. So anyways, there's no single answer as to why humans have created the concept of God. However, there are a few explanations on how or why humans have created the concept of God, and they are the following. 1, comfort in suffering. 2, explaining the unknown. 3, meaning and purpose. 4, building cooperative groups. 5, an innate sense of right and wrong. 6 is neurological explanations. And 7 is a metaphor for spiritual longings. So these are some explanations as to why humans have created the concept of God. And we're going to go through and break them down a little bit. With 1 being comfort and suffering. I think that one's kind of self-explanatory of if something bad is happening to me, there's a lot of explanations, biblically speaking or religiously speaking. Like, again, I'm not very well versed in the Bible. I feel like I should have like a theologian on this podcast in order to talk with me about this. But I do have a friend who is spiritual. However, they're family grew up Christian. And one of the things that they were telling me about is that there's a story in the Bible about this group of people that were like marooned on an island or something. And they had like five groups of people or five circumstances or five situations or something like that. It might not even have been five. There was just like things that happened when they were marooned or lost or whatever that could have gotten them out of the situation that they were in. And they were like, no, God's going to save us. So every time someone came up to them with like a barrel of food and was like, here, you want to eat some of our food? They're like, no, God will save us. And then like another person came out and they're like, look, we got this ship. We could get you off this island. They're like, no, God's going to save us. And then they all ended up dying. So like this whole time they're trying to find like comfort in suffering. And it wasn't until that they all like died because they didn't take the help of the people that passed them by that they finally reached God. And God was like, dude, they asked them, they're like, God, why have you forsaken us? And he's like, hey, I sent you five different things to help you and you never took any of them. And they were like, oh, damn, you know? So I feel like, you know, comfort in suffering, depending on the scriptures that you're reading, there's going to be some sort of like, I think comfort and suffering could also be added to like meaning and purpose as well, because they always say like God created you for a reason, right? Like you are here for a reason, which you are. But I think sometimes when bad things happen, you're like, okay, well, I'm here for this thing. So this bad thing will pass and everything's going to be fine. So that is, you know, reasons one and two. Now, going down to one and three. So that's one and three. Now, two is explaining the unknown. This one I think is funny. So, you know, I just got done telling you how I perceive God, right? As like the Big Bang, the initial explosion in the universe that created physicality as we can understand it. And I did have someone a couple months back when I talked about how nothingness gives rise to everything. They were like, well, how can something come from nothing? And I was like, well, my something or my nothing is like God, is like air. So even though it looks like there's nothing there, there is lots of things there that we do or don't know about type of thing. So two, for explaining the unknown, I was going through like silly reels, like silly videos on the internet, right? And I follow a lot of comedy pages too. And this guy by the name of Pete Holmes was doing stand-up. And he has this little tiny skit that is on the internet somewhere where he talks about how nothing created the universe. And he talks about, in a comical way, there's the people that believe in God and the people that don't believe in God. And his skit goes something like this. If God doesn't exist, you know, but nothing created the universe, nothing definitely doesn't exist because nothing is its definition. You know what I'm saying? Like, if God doesn't exist and nothing created the universe, quote unquote, because some of the people that don't want to believe in a God or deities, they're like, well, nothing created the universe. You're like, okay, got it. But nothing literally is nothing. There is nothing. So how can something come from nothing? And I was just thinking about the YouTube comment that I got a couple months back about this. And I was like, okay, I get it. It makes sense. How can something come from nothing? Right? Cool. So he says, nothing can come from nothing because it's nothing. So what happens when we die? He asks the people that don't believe in gods or deities. And they're like, well, nothing happens when you die. Just nothing. And he's like, oh, okay. So you merge back with your creator? Because if nothing created you, and then when you die, nothing happens, then you go back to nothing. Who is your creator? And he goes, that sounds like heaven to me. And I just thought that was one of the most comedic, hilarious ways to talk about that. And I wanted to share it with you guys. And again, the comedian that I saw this from his stand-up act was Pete Holmes. I've never heard of him before, but when I saw that, I was like, that's pretty funny. So I think, you know, creating gods and deities to explain the unknown is extremely, extremely interesting. Because I think it's more that we're just trying to understand what it is that we came from. It's more like coming back to our roots, if you will. And I think that scientists are trying to do the same thing as people who are religious or spiritual or faithful in just a different way. there's so much like crossover between science and spirituality. It's absolutely maddening. And this kind of just goes back to a little bit of what we talked about last week of like, if we can understand everyone's different perspectives, we'll see how one person is just looking at the flip side of the coin. And one of them might be looking at it upside down, and someone else might be looking at it right side up, but it's all just the same sort of thing. And if we can understand that we're both just all trying to look at and perceive the same thing, we're just looking at it through a different lens, then maybe we'd get to an end point or like an answer faster. But anyways, moving on to number four, which is neurological explanations. And I'm just realizing that I renumbered these differently, so don't pay attention to the numbers. We're still going 1 through 7, but the next one that we're going to talk about is neurological explanations. So why would people create a god? So this one I think is interesting. This one I think is very, very interesting for sure. So neurological explanations. Scientists have discovered neurological explanations of what some interpret as evidence of divine existence. There's a Canadian scientist named Michael Persinger who developed something called, quote, the God helmet. Now, this helmet, when put on participants or test subjects, blocks sights and sounds, but it stimulates the brain's temporal lobe. Now, the temporal lobe has both a left and a right side, as well as a medial area, and both sides work together to control managing emotions, processing information from your senses, storing and retrieving memories, and understanding language. It's also responsible for your unconscious responses such as hunger, thirst, fight, or flight. Now, the interesting thing about this, like, it's just talking about, like, why would people create the senses of gods and deities? This helmet, depending on the person who was wearing it, depending on their personal or cultural history, the subjects interpreted the feeling of, quote, another nearby. And this other was perceived as either a supernatural experience or a religious figure, depending on the person's cultural history, which I think is interesting. I'm sorry, but to me, the God helmet kind of sounds like a more intense version of the Estes method. And if you don't know, the Estes method is a like ghost hunting, paranormal investigator, like thing, act that you do, or a lot of paranormal investigators, ghost hunters do. So basically it's sensory deprivation. In a sense, it's not sensory deprivation. You put on a blindfold and you have noise canceling headphones. So can you hear a background noise sometimes? If it's loud enough, yes, and depending on the type of or quality of headphones that you're using. But you use a radio, like a little tiny handheld radio, and you skip through channels and you set the frequency so that it skips through radio stations. And you can speed it up or slow it down. But the premise is that you're supposed to be deprived of being able to hear everyone around you, and the souls or spirits, spiritual beings, whoever that are around you are supposed to use the spirit box, the little radio in your hand, to pick out certain types of words or phrases or sentences that the radio is skipping through in order to communicate with you. And then the person that is sitting on the other side is asking questions. The person that is not blindfolded, doesn't have noise-canceling headphones, etc. They ask questions, and then essentially the souls or spirits are supposed to use you and the radio in your hand to answer those questions correctly, correspondingly. And this just makes me think about the Estes method, but like a sciencey Estes method. So it's almost like, so you're deprived of senses, but your brain is being stimulated specifically in the areas that talk or control retrieving memories, processing your senses, understanding language, and unconscious responses. And people, some of the test subjects said that they had this feeling of another. And I was like, that's so interesting. It's interesting that like we as, or me specifically as a medium, I understand that ego is a lot of what inhibits people from, I don't want to say accessing or harnessing. It's more just like embracing their psychic potential, because I believe everyone has psychic abilities just like everyone has physical senses. They're unique and individualistic to you, and you use them in certain capacities differently than one person or the other? Because some people might be more visually oriented. Some people might be more auditorily oriented, things like that. So your psychic abilities are going to mirror how you use your five physical senses. But it makes me think about like your ego. So ego is your sociocultural perception of the world around you. It's the things that society or people have taught you and how to view the world of like ghosts don't exist. This isn't possible because science says it's not. That's your ego. So it makes me feel like this helmet sort of deprives your senses and allows you to let go of your ego in a little bit of an odd way, I guess, because I mean, it says it deprives you of your senses, but then stimulates your temporal lobe, which is just, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about like when I talk to souls or spirits, sometimes I struggle because I have an ego, right? But like, what if I was trying to channel a soul with like the God helmet on, you know? Like, what if someone asked me questions and I could like read them or already know what they were and then just put on the God helmet and see how channeling souls would be? I don't know. Like, does it have to deal with your temporal lobe? But then we're also going to talk about something called your neocortex when it later on in the podcast that I just think is an interesting thing to think about as well. I mean, maybe I'll make this into a part two and we'll talk about the religious anthropology in a separate podcast. But I don't know. It seems like a more intense version of the Estes method where your ego sort of removed and you're focusing on one thing. I mean, when you're doing the Estes method, you're thinking about just trying to hear the words and phrases that come out, regardless of what is going on around you, regardless of what you can see and what you can hear, etc. So it like heightens your senses in a way. Some people get experience being touched during the Estes method. Is that actually happening, or could it just be because people are like kind of freaked out? That is also a good thing to think about. But with the God helmet, like, I mean, you're deprived of your senses. So maybe all of your other senses are a little like over heightened and you're just freaking out a little bit, or it's that it's removing that ego and allowing you to perceive or channel the metaphysical energy around you, which is why people have this sense of feeling the other, which is really freaking weird to me. However, I did read as well, for people that know the Bible more than me, which is literally everybody, I'm sure, that there was an antidote that said St. Paul's dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus could be hypothesized as a seizure caused by temporal lobe epilepsy if, like, the God helmet is, you could use it as, like, an arguing point, I guess. And I guess St. Paul was this dude. I looked it up because I don't know anything about St. Paul's conversion about anything. So I looked it up. I guess St. Paul was this dude named Saul, and he was like casually on his way to go like haze some Christians. Well, I'll just put it nicely. Maybe that's a little bit nicer. I'm not sure. To go haze some Christians because he was like, this is silly. I don't like these Christians, yada, yada, yada. But then on the way there, I don't know if he got struck by lightning, but he like saw a light. And then I guess Jesus was like, why would you do that? That's not cool. And then he's like, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do when you get to Damascus. And then he got there and I guess like Jesus was like, you can't do this. And then this guy named Saul was like, I saw the light. I talked to Jesus after he died and he told me that this is not cool. So then he became a Christian, changed his name to Paul, and then was like, I'm going to preach the word of Jesus, which is interesting. But I was like, how could you say that it was an epileptic seizure on his way to Damascus? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I looked it up, and I guess medically speaking, the temporal lobe is most closely associated with seizures. And a lot of I asked my Google search results going to be crazy, like search history, but I looked up what do people experience when they experience seizures, and a lot of the common experiences, aside from like muscle movements and twitches or like staring off into space, is like experiencing super bright lights, having hallucinations, and very prolific emotions. So I was like, interesting. So I like, now I'm like, is this helmet giving people like little seizures? I don't know, because they're like It's stimulating their temporal lobe. And a seizure is where the electrical impulses in the brain go haywire. They're like all cattywampus. And that is what causes seizures in a sense. I'm not sure if that's the only reason that causes seizures, but that is what I looked up. So, I mean, if this God helmet is stimulating the temporal lobe, is he just casually giving people like mild seizures? Like, I don't understand. I thought that was something that we should talk about. So those are some neurological explanations of how or why humans have created God. Because I guess, I don't know, I feel attacked by that one, personally. Like, neurological explanations. Because I don't think that when I'm channeling a soul, I'm having a seizure. I don't think that I am hallucinating because I'm able to talk about and know where I am, who I am, what I'm doing, what I'm talking about, and discern my own thoughts from my own. So I feel a little personally attacked by number four, which isn't even number four. Just the fact that, I mean, like, I don't know. I've only ever had that one, like, because this also made me think about like people's like come to Jesus moments or like Jesus moments, like people that like were not religious and then all of a sudden were like, I talked to Jesus, and then are religious. I don't know. It makes me think about a lot of things. If you guys have things that this podcast has been making you think about so far, please let me know in the comments below, because I would love to hear what you're thinking about. Now, moving on, we're going to talk about building cooperative groups and innate sense of right and wrong, which I think is an interesting one to talk about as well. So evolutionarily speaking, meaning building cooperative groups and an innate sense of right and wrong, there were studies done that infants demonstrate an innate sense of right and wrong, good and bad, fair and unfair. Which, honestly, again, I'm not religious. I only ever used to go to like Lutheran church with my friend Abby when I was little. That is my scope of religious involvement in any way, shape, or form, really. And I used to think that going to church was kind of silly because I, from the time, like, from my own just like outside perspective, sort of looking in, it seemed like people went to church to learn about morals and to learn about being a good person. Like, don't do bad things. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't be envious of other people and use that to be angry or anything like that. Like the Ten Commandments, basically. What was it? I think I wrote them down somewhere in here. Yeah, like, love thy neighbor, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't kill. The commandments are just morals. In my own interpretation, I was like, why are people, like, I don't think that you need someone telling you besides like your mom to not do these things. So why is it that people go to church if they're just going to church to learn about morals? That was how I viewed religion a lot when I was little. And then you always hear about like the scandalous things that happen in certain religious communities and things like that. So you're like, okay, well then, is it really morals or is it just people trying to control people? You know, underneath the facade of morals. So there's always that like caveat. And that's how I used to view religion as a child. And it's something that I'm starting to maybe not necessarily get away from, but not use so heavily to keep me away from learning and expanding my own understandings and knowledge of people's religions, instead of like not letting those cliches or those maladaptive thoughts sort of keep me ignorant to things that I think could help in my own spiritual journey, I guess. So I think cooperative groups of similar thought processes are not necessarily morals, because some bad people have been religious leaders. And I want to say bad is subjective. But when it comes to building cooperative groups, I think religion and spirituality definitely is probably a reason why people have created gods and deities, because it's like they talk about in anthropological senses of religion how like ancestors and nature spirits and gods and things like that are used to sort of keep people on the straight and narrow of like, what would your great grandma think if she knew what you were doing, type of things. And it's just, I don't know. They're all just interesting, interesting things to think about.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Now, I am starting to run out of time. So I am going to save the anthropology of religion until next week. And perhaps, since I have a little bit more time, we'll start with the anthropology of religion and then move into gods or deities, depending on how fast you guys are able to let me know in the comments below what gods or deities you would like me to cover next. Are there specific questions that you have after listening to this podcast? Please let me know in either an Apple Podcast review or down in the comments below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel. And until next time, keep pondering the world around you, I guess. I don't know. There's just so many things to think about when it comes to like gods and deities and people. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a lovely holiday. And I'm excited that it's December now, because December is Christmas time. And I have a deep love for Santa Claus. Of like, I don't think Santa Claus is like a cryptid, but all of the like quote unquote spiritual paranormal type of figures, Mothman and Santa Claus are my favorite. Fun fact about me. So December is one of my favorites because there's a special place in my heart for Santa Claus, and I'm excited to devise a Christmas themed episode. But until next time, thank you so much for listening to my metaphysical musings on the idea of gods, and I'll see you next Sunday. Peace.